United States v. Cruz, Mr. D'Angelo.
May it please the court, opposing counsel. Your Honors, I would request a one-minute rebuttal time. Thank you. Your Honors, this case is dealing with two issues, whether or not my client Wayne Cruz was involved in a conspiracy to commit tax fraud and that he actually did commit tax fraud. It is our position that the lower court erred in applying a slight evidence rule when it looked at the facts of this case. Judge Easterbrook and this court in U.S. v. Martinez de Ortiz, as well as U.S. v. Derive, indicated that in looking at a defendant involved in a conspiracy, the review standard is not a slight evidence, but a substantial evidence. We don't believe that the government met a substantial evidence in looking at a conspiracy. The facts show that Mr. Cruz met with Mr. Sweeney, the accountant in this matter, back at the end of 2001, beginning of 2002. At that point, Mr. Sweeney was courting Mr. Cruz to do his taxes. He just bought out the predecessor to Poland and Accountants and was asking Mr. Cruz to stay with him for his accounting purposes. That was the only conversation that Mr. Cruz had with Mr. Sweeney with regards to his accounting and his taxes. The fact of the matter is the evidence does show that Mr. Cruz never did his own taxes. He always went to an accountant, an H&R Block, or somebody to do his accounting services. The testimony is clear that Mr. Cruz never understood how to do his own taxes, and that's why he sought the expertise of others. He also relied on the expertise of a bookkeeper, which he hired was Jody Zepnik. And it was Ms. Zepnik that prepared the books and sent it over to Mr. Sweeney. It was only when he got the taxes back that Mr. Cruz signed his name on the form. This court has indicated that there's a good faith exception. If you sign your name believing that the tax returns are prepared correctly and you have no reason to believe that they're not, that's a good faith defense, an exception to defrauding the government.
Who kept track of his gambling losses?
Your Honor, I believe that Mr. Cruz kept track through a Players Club card. And I think looking at the gambling issue, Your Honor, that seemed to be a major tone in the underlying case. However, he was never indicted with regards to his gambling. There was no specific instance that his gambling was any way related to whether or not he was defrauding on his business. His business was a sole proprietorship. He had his he had one checkbook. Everything went in and out of that same checkbook, from his mortgage to buying toilet paper, Your Honor. It had nothing to do. And the fact that the government focused a lot on its case with Mr. Cruz and his gambling issue, I don't think it's illegal that he was a gambler. I don't think it's an illegal issue.
He just lost a lot of money.
He did lose a lot of money, Your Honor, and there was really never a dispute. Even the lower court cited that they believe that he lost more than he won. Mr. Cruz maybe had a misunderstanding of how he was supposed to report his gambling, but he never had a misunderstanding of what he needed to do for his business. And he always took all of his information to his accountant through his bookkeeper. The government makes a lot of light of the fact that there was a 2004 profit and loss statement with some handwritten notes saying this is how much you saved in your taxes. Yet there was no ever any testimony that Mr. Cruz ever saw that profit and loss statement or that he knew he was gaining a benefit from Mr. Sweeney. The government wants you to believe that there was an ongoing communication, but there was never any testimony that Mr. Cruz ever spoke to Mr. Sweeney other than the first time they met. They want you to create a nexus of saying for 2002, 2003, and 2004, Mr. Cruz never communicated to Mr. Sweeney how much he wanted to pay in taxes, yet he was supposed to believe how much he was going to pay, and that Mr. Sweeney was just picking a number out of thin air. Finally, Your Honor, it goes back to the issue of willful intentional act. The Supreme Court has indicated that for somebody to be involved in tax fraud, they have to do something willfully and intentionally. The government in its brief cited a number of cases dealing with people who are avoiding to report income. There was never a dispute that Mr. Cruz reported all of his income. There's never a dispute that when he left the books coming out of his office to Mr. Sweeney's office that there was ever an issue. It was only when they came back and Mr. Cruz, believing they were okay, signed it and sent them in with a check. And I will leave the last minute.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. D'Angelo. Mr. Jacobs?
Hey, please, the court, counsel. My name is Matt Jacobs. I was one of the two lawyers who handled the underlying prosecution, a bench trial in front of Judge Griesbach. The question here is sufficiency of the evidence and a review of the record, as outlined in the government's brief, demonstrates there was ample evidence to support Judge Griesbach's verdict finding the defendant guilty of conspiring with his tax return preparer, Mr. Sweeney, and filing false tax returns. First of all, the tax returns were Mr. Cruz's. Virtually any benefit for filing the false tax returns flowed to Mr. Cruz. The only possible benefit that flowed to Mr. Sweeney was keeping Mr. Cruz's business, and the only way that benefit flowed to him, if Mr. Cruz knew he was jacking up his expenses, underreporting his income, and underreporting his taxes.
Was there evidence of what his accountant charged him for these services?
I don't know if in the record was the specific amount he charged him. There was evidence that the only money he received was a standard payment for tax return preparation. There was no indication that it was an exorbitant amount of money, so relatively a standard fee for that was the only money that Sweeney received from Cruz. Secondly, the nature of the false information and Mr. Cruz's role, his involvement with those numbers, demonstrates that he knows that they're false. It's an exaggeration of the expenses by 20%. It's an underreporting of the business's income by 60%, which resulted in a 65% reduction in his taxes. There's Mr. Cruz, a sole proprietor. He's the owner. He's the operator. He does all the estimating. He's the bidding. He's operated a successful business for 15 years with gross receipts in excess of $1 million. Someone in that position who's been successful has to know what the expenses are, what his profit margin is. So when he files a tax return that's reporting less than $470,000 of the business income, less than 40% of the actual business income, he has to know that that's false. There is that handwritten note, and the only rational explanation for that note from the return preparer saying, I've added $200,000 in expenses and saved $70-some-odd thousand in taxes, the only explanation for that note is the return preparer communicating with Mr. Cruz saying, here's what we've thrown in here, here's what it saved you. The only person it saved is Mr. Cruz. There's the substantial draws that Mr. Cruz took out. I mean, literally, he took out $730,000 in a three-year period of time. He only reported $330,000 worth of income in that same period of time. Again, he has to know he's underreporting his income. There's finally Mr. Cruz's admissions to the agents. He told them that after they showed up there, he calls his return preparer, and they say they'll cover each other's back, and they won't squeal. And again, there's nothing to cover, nothing to squeal about if they're not involved in a criminal conspiracy. Judge, I believe unless the court has further questions, the government will rely on the submission in its brief.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Jacobs.
Thank you.
Mr. D'Angelo, a little bit of time left if you want.
Your Honor, to address some of the issues, we have to assume that the government put on its best evidence when it presented its case. One of the evidence they didn't present was Mr. Sweeney himself. Mr. Sweeney was already convicted. He was already waived his right to remain silent. He never testified. We don't really know why Mr. Sweeney did this. We never got that information. With regards to the benefit situation, Your Honor, Mr. Cruz wouldn't have known he was receiving a benefit had he known that Mr. Sweeney was doing these things. He had good faith belief that Mr. Sweeney was preparing his taxes correctly. They make a lot of this handwritten note. It was in Mr. Cruz's record. Of course it was in Mr. Cruz's record because that's when the tax preparer sent the information back. But there was never any testimony or any evidence that Mr. Cruz ever was aware or knew or acknowledged that he had that note. With regards to the large amount coming out of his checkbook, as I say before, Your Honors, the checkbook was one checkbook for the business and his personal accounts. Whether or not how much was coming in and out of that checkbook, it could have been from gambling winnings, it could have been from his actual business, or it could have been because he received a gift from a family member. There really isn't an explanation that was never really clarified on the record. So if there's no further questions, I'll...
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Jacobs, Mr. D'Angelo, and the court will be in recess until tomorrow morning.